Hi there, you're listening to a message from Shiloh Tabernacle. Enjoy and be blessed.
The spirit of conformity. The spirit of conformity is killing us as a church, as a people. We are too engrossed in the cultures and the behaviors and the mannerisms that are unchristian. The church, somebody said, you look for the church, you won't find it. Find it in the world, and once you look for the world, you'll find it in the church. So we need to be careful. That's why our theme scripture is in Romans chapter 12, where Paul admonishes the Romans just as he admonishes us to present our what? To present, to bring them. You've got to bring your body. In the old days, no, you could not send. I normally see people here, you know, sending children to come and give an offering for you. You have missed the point. You do not send anybody to come and make an offering for you. You don't. Do you understand, parents who are here? Stop sending your children. Let your child has got to have their own offering as well. Let them see you lead them to the altar. Amen. When they grow up, they will not sway away from that. They will know that sacrifice is paramount. You do not send somebody to sacrifice for you. Ever. Never do it. You have to take your offering yourself. So stop playing around with this time of offering. You guys, you play around with offering. In the other world, you cannot operate without a sacrifice. Before you have woken up, the Freemasons in this city, they are already up. They have presented us a morning sacrifice. So by the time we saunter out of our bed, Christian, and get into the places of work, these guys are already ahead. There's that world outside there that is more real than this one. Did you hear what I just said? There is a world outside there that is more real than what you see. So stop playing games. When we call up, when we say it's time for prayer, it's not time to play games. You've got to fight for yourself. You've got to fight for your children. This generation is under attack like never before. Fight for your children. Fight for them. Pray. Your child gets out of the bus, goes into that school. You have no idea what is entering into their mind. You have no clue. They walk into the house at different people. You understand what I'm saying? Present. You present the sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. In the old days, it was a dead sacrifice. You had to kill it. We need to borrow a leaf from Isaac. Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham. By that time, it's Abraham. Abraham is taking his child to sacrifice him. He has been waiting for this for a long time. This is something he has been waiting for a long time. And once it's in his lap, God says, I need it. And God made sure that the substitute has already gone. Because he first told him, take out, tell Hagar and her child, who's Ishmael, let them go. Because he knew if Ishmael was still in the house and he asked him for a son, he would negotiate. Just like some of us are good at negotiating with God. Stop negotiating with God. If he pinpoints something and says, I need it, just take it and give it to him. Take it. Give it to him. He says, this microphone is for Hope. Just pass it on. This money is for Reuben. Bring it. Now somebody say, why did he say Hope for a microphone and new money? You'll get the revelation later. Hallelujah. Stop negotiating yourself out of God, of God's demands. Some of these things, some of you who are married, God will not even tell your husband, ask you to, you will not even tell your husband. Selah. There are many things that my wife gives up, and I find out later that they're already gone. There are things I give up when she discovered they're already gone. The moment God tells you, act there and then. Yeah. At times, Abraham was not, Sarah was not consulted. Yeah. Some of these things are that deep. Some of them you will go and tell Sarah. Sarah will say, are you crazy? You look at him. You have got another son. You can go and get back Ishmael. But for me, this is my... Is that God? So God made sure that in the equation, Sarah was absent. For most some things, he does not need your consultation. Does not need your opinion. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's not my message. Does he need your what? What he needs, you know what he needs? Obedience. He said, if you are obedient, what will happen? You will eat the good of the land. If it is a conditional clause, in order to get the other one, you've got to fulfill this one. Now we are good. Abraham, we did not see Abraham negotiating at all. That's why it's called the father of faith. Because the Bible says that he got a revelation that God is able to bring his son back, even though there was no record of anybody who had ever resurrected. So he got hold of him in the morning and said, son, we are going to worship. We are going yonder. The son is seeing the fire. But I see the fire, Dad. I see the fire. But where is the sacrifice? You provide the fire. I provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. I provide the sacrifice. Fill me. God is not going to fill anybody up until they can provide a sacrifice. The blessings of Abraham, father. You claim the blessings of, you know what he paid to get those blessings. You think they'll just come for you, say, you know, gliding. No way. You've got to. Oh. The blessings of Abraham are costly. Heck, the blessing of Jesus Christ that we enjoy, the blood, it cost a life. That's why it says we were not bought by the blood of goats and sheep. We were purchased by precious blood of the Son of God. Father, I see the fire. I see the firewood. Where is the sacrifice? We are not talking about a four-year-old boy. We are talking about a teenager. He is a teenager. And they get to a certain point where there are some points where other people must stay. It says the servants, stay here. There are some friends who must stay behind. There are people who are pulling you back. You must know the demarcation where they stay. I walk with you up to some point, but when it comes to worshiping my God, you must know. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had how many disciples? By this time, there were 11. One of them had just, you know, made a deal to sell him. 11. He picks 3 out of them and goes. The Bible says they went a little distance. And he said to them, guys, I need you to pray with me. My heart is troubled. Those are intercessors. You need friends to pray with you, you know. Tell them there's something. You don't tell every other. He did not tell the other how many now? The other 8? There's some things that are not for everybody to know. Yeah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So they could not handle what was going to happen. He says, guys, the 3, I am troubled. I'm troubled. Do you have those guys? I'm troubled. So even these 3 guys, they had to stay in a certain place. He had to go alone. He left them. Oh my God. The Bible says he had to go yonder. Everybody here has got a cross. There are some things that you must face. There are some things you will pray out of your way, but there are some things that were ordained to make you who you are supposed to be, and you must face them. I must face them. Hallelujah. He went ahead and prayed alone. Why? Because there are some places where people cannot go with you. Abraham leaves the servants and goes with the boy. And he goes to the altar. I want you to picture what's happening here. This old man, he's not a young man, Abraham, he's a man of age, 100 years or so. And he gets hold of his son, 16-year-old, and he begins and puts him on the altar. Say, do you sense the obedience of this young man? This young man would have rebelled. Say, what's up, man? What's going on? Today, you tie a 16-year-old and put him on today. In this day and age, your 2-year-old is becoming an issue. What about a 16-year-old one? They ask you why. The question is, why? You tell them, sit down there. Why? Isn't that what they ask? Why? Isaac, get on the altar. Why? Isaac did not ask a single question. He was obedient. He was a living sacrifice. And the father tied him. And the boy did not say a word. A picture of Jesus Christ as he's about to be crucified. The Bible says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter and did not say a word. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice does not complain. It is too early. It's 5 a.m. to pray. It is too early. 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, these guys know that I have worked all day, all week, and I need to sleep in. You sleep in? There's somebody who slept and didn't wake up. A sacrifice does not complain. It is a will, it is obedient, it is voluntary. I don't know why I'm going here. Isaac is on the altar. And the father raises a knife. And this boy, I'm asking myself, what's going on in the mind of this boy? What kind of obedience is that? He would have said, old man, you are crazy. Old age has gotten to you now. This is dementia. So you know, you need to be in a care home. You need to be in a what? In a care home. You are going crazy. But the boy did not say a word. And as he was about to plunge a knife into this boy, God appears. Sacrifice. Present your lives as living sacrifices, my friend. You get hold of it. Tell it to wake up at this time. We are in the month of fasting. Every time it's telling you to get to the fridge. Look at the fridge and say, I'm not going to open you until 6 p.m. Whatever time you fast. Some of us fast 2 hours, others 3 hours. It's up to you. Somebody taught us on Friday here that we are all shareholders in the kingdom of God. But every one of us has got a propensity of increasing their shares. So some of us are content with just a few shares. But this month, I'm tired. I want to increase my shares. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. So we are talking about the Spirit. And he says, you know what? Do not be conformed to the what? To the patterns of this world. The molds of this world. This world has got molds, has got patterns. Not every good thing that you see passing by is for you. Amen. Amen. Because we do not know the people who the motives of the guys who manufactured most of these things. Not every good thing is good. Present your bodies as live as your what? Your what? Your bodies. Enemy number one. Your enemy number one is not your neighbor. If you are married, it's not your in-laws. It's not your boss. It's not your colleagues at work. Enemy number one is yourself. This body. That's why he says, get this body and put it on the altar. It's called the principle of mortification. You get the body and kill it. That's why Paul says, I keep my body under. I keep it where? Under. Meaning he keeps it under subjection. The body knows how to talk. It knows how to convince you to talk you out of situations and lead you to do some stuff. You've got to be proficient at speaking to it and say, body, no, I'm in charge. I am in the driver's seat. You are going to do what I want you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The appetites, the Bible says in James, is it James 1:14? James 1:14. Can we throw that up there as we continue? But each one is what? Is tempted when he is drawn. I want you to picture this pulpit like a presence of God. This is a presence of God in God. We'll get there later on in John chapter 15. In God. God wants us to be in him. But then there are desires. This body is just terrible. This body, we are in this problem, in this sin because of the body. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that when the woman saw the fruit, what did she see? It was good. It looked good. And it looked good for eating. and she encroached. Are we together, friends? The appetites drew her to the place where God drew her out of Eden. Eden is a place, is a place, any place that goes the presence of God. So we are, our bodies, our passions, our desires, our, you know, goals, some of our goals are drawing us away from God. Believe you me. Some of our goals. Can I tell you, next month we'll be talking about fruits. When you appear before the Lord, God is not going to ask you how many things you did here, how many houses you bought here, how many cars you drove here. Is that bad? No. It is good. I love good cars. Some of you know my favorite car. There you are. I love them. But that's not the main preoccupation why I'm here. It's not. And when I get before him, the Bible says each one of us shall give an account to, yeah, of himself to God. So he said, the children, I can't do this because of the children. I can't do this because of the husband. Yeah, because of the job. Somebody say amen. We are going to learn how to prioritize things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody is saying, when is he finishing? I'm still here. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away. It's like the devil knows how to, he knows your weaknesses. He knows which buttons to press. So he brings it and he throws a noose around you. And he's not even there. Because somebody, if you are drawing somebody from somewhere, you don't even have to be there. You just throw the noose and begin pulling. So he pulls. He pulls you. Drawn away. Drawn away from who? From God. Drawn away from the things that matter. So you start majoring in the minors. In the things, I don't want to tell you guys, you know, we are with, I don't know who was saying this morning. We don't know what time the switch will be off. That switch, which is called life. We don't know. When he's done what? Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. My God. What does it say? The next verse. Then when desire has conceived, desire has got a womb. Not that desire there. Desire has a womb. It has a womb, and it has a gestation period. When it has what? Conceived. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is what? Fully grown. Sin grows. When it is fully grown, it brings. Mercy, Lord. Mercy on me, Father God. Mercy on us. Drawn away. We are in the month of prayer. That's why we are saying this month, this week, next week, I want us to be praying about against the spirit of conformity. Everything. Just go back and just get a piece of paper. When everybody is asleep, write down the things that you think are pulling you. First and foremost, ask yourself, where are you with the Lord? In the things of God, where are you? In reading the word, where are you? In prayer, where are you? In serving God, where are you? Some of you don't even have the time to serve your God. The one who woke you up, but you've got the time to serve the boss who can fire you any time. Schedule some time to serve the Lord. Ask, call a church. When is the church cleaned? I want to be coming on Wednesday to clean this church. On your day, find something to do for the Lord. Just don't break the windows. We had an educational officer who used to say, you have to do something. You have to show that you are around. Do something. Even if it means at least break a window and then know that you are here. You understand, guys? These things I'm talking about, I'm talking about myself as well. So write down the things that take you away from God and begin to attack them this week. The spirit of conformity, the spirit of consumerism. In this land, the spirit of consumerism. Somebody say consumerism. The economy of this land is built on consumerism. They are planning on getting into your pocket. They are planning on getting you into debt. So you are in perpetual debt. Then if you are in perpetual debt, then you are their servant. You're working for them. Every iPhone that comes out, it's in your face. They want you to take it. What happened to the old one? Did it stop calling? Amen. Some of us cannot pass by shoes or dresses or handbags. It's like you have a shop in your house. And you want to tell me that that's okay. That is not okay. That's the spirit of consumerism. That is conformity, my friend. You've got to be real and attack these things. You need another one? Okay, fine. Why don't you give away the other one? Now, the ladies in this place want to kill me. You know what? I know how to get out of this place. I'm going to tell you to close your eyes, and I will just wink at my family, and we'll be in the car, and we'll be out of this place. By the time you open your eyes, we'll be gone. Spirit, this is crazy, guys. This is not my message. We'll preach that one another time. Can we just talk? The adverts are in our faces. Now when we talk about these kids that we are raising up, that's why we need to pray extra for them. These kids are being bombarded by messages on their phones. The average child in this country, watches pornography at age six. The phone. Our phones are internet. So they know how to target. They just send, adverts. You hear your kid is in the room, you don't know what they are watching. You are in a shift. Shift after shift. So, and we are saying, I am working for my children. You are joking. I will be very lucky if the children we have get interested in my trade or in my occupation or in my line of trade. That will be a blessing. But most of the kids are not going where you are going. They have got their own minds, these kids you see here. Now, just pretend they are not here. Can I speak to some parents here? Be careful. It's not every shift that you must take. But Pastor, you have no idea. Yes, I have. There are many times when my wife is away to go and do some stuff, and I purposely have to stay at home, even when I should have gone out to do something. I say, you know what, God? Let there be somebody in this home. Now, for some of us, we are single parents and understand that. But we still have to regiment the way we are around these kids. If you're not around them, somebody else is around them. And guess who? Number one is internet. The broadband for which you pay is the one that is killing. Do you see what I'm saying when we say prayer? We need to pray extra. These kids, the demons they are fighting with, for us, we didn't even see them. They are way advanced. They are way advanced, and there are guys out there who are targeting them because they know, just as the church knows that they're the next generation, there are some people who know they're the next generation. By the time your kid gets out of university, they are targeting him or her. Targeting him to give her a credit card. Targeting him or her to give her a car on whatever. So that, his life, now they have hooked him. He's in their hands. He's a slave. Whatever he calls, they say, oh, you qualify. And the kid just goes. Some of us are in losers that we cannot get ourselves out of. We cannot allow our children to get into those things as well. We must pray. Somebody say prayer. That's why God is turning us around into a church of prayer. Yeah. Prayer. Somebody say prayer. Yeah. 5 a.m. we are here praying to 7 p.m. Say a.m. If you cannot make it because we are still a commuting church, most of us can't be here. Get on that line. Call in and pray with other people. I love the way the women are doing it. Pastor Joy is doing it with the ladies, teaming up. Ladies, guys, we're also going to start teaming up, praying together. We must fight for this generation. Somebody say prayer. Prayer. Jesus Christ prayed. Who am I not to pray? The Son of the Living God, the Anointed One. The Bible says that he prayed all night. My goodness, why was he praying? Yet he is God. You know why he was praying? The Bible says that whatever he did, he first saw it in the spiritual. He had to download from God what he was going to say the next day. That's why there were many people that he did not heal, because he was not commanded to heal them. He was ordained by God. Heal that one. But he downloaded this from prayer. Nights of prayer is one Friday in the night. My friend, put it aside. Tell your boss, I cannot do this shift. I'm working for my kids. These kids, you are investing in Uganda, building houses, which is really good. I love it myself. I need to buy to build a house there. But stop telling me that it's for these children. These children are going somewhere. Yesterday I was talking to a certain guy This guy has had a serious ministry in this land for many years. He was talking about that person. Somebody was telling me about this person. This person has got a building in one of the prime areas. So West African person. Serious building. It's mortgage free. She used to use it as a church. She has another one in Walsham store. And she's now of age. She doesn't know what to do. The kids that she has don't even want to know. So she was turning to this guy and saying, I'm confused. How do I go about this? The children have got their own trajectory. Right now, if you go back to Chizoba, where I come from, I am not there. My father has got 8 children. None of us is there. And I used to see him fighting, you know, fencing land, everything. Paddocks and paddocks. Now some paddocks are just like a national park. None of us is there. Everyone is on his own. And I was in Sudan, another one is in where nobody wants to know. And the old man goes, guys, he calls, guys, what's going on, guys? And I'm thinking, what? Is that how I'm going to be? Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I saying working is bad? No, far be from it. We need the money. You even work and even you don't even give. Look, there's a stock. Can we talk? Thank you so much. May God bless you. You see, let me tell you. You work your tail off. You have nothing to show for it. And you don't even tithe. You don't even give to God. You don't even give to the poor. What are we doing in this land? Is there something that you are doing in your village that is tangible, that you are helping somebody who is less fortunate than you were? When you left there, you say, oh, bye. I'm now British. You are British. Even when the Lord calls us, you know how people suffer to take us back home. Can we talk? Somebody says to talk. Yeah. Five minutes and I'll be out of your face, because I see some of you are saying this man must get out. Yeah. Do you understand, guys? What is your money? Who is your money helping? Helping who? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We need to reconsider Let me give you a secret. Your life is much bigger than you. You understand what I'm saying? We need to live lives. We need to be people who, who have got the principle of greater than I, bigger than I. The world is bigger than me, my wife, my kids, and my grandkids and great grandkids. I've got a bigger responsibility. You have got a bigger responsibility. There are many people counting on you. Many people counting on you, and God has put you on earth because of a purpose. A purpose. Not your purpose, but his purpose. Your phone. Your phone is there for a purpose. Your phone cannot begin to tell you that today I want to be a car. I want to act like a car. No. Its purpose is for you to make calls. That's who we are. We have got a purpose. Find out your purpose. How are we going to do that? In prayer. We're going to find his will for me. Lord, this few months that we are remaining within this year, let's ask God, what is your will? What is your will? What is my purpose? Where do we find that? In prayer. That Jesus Christ would go to, the Bible says that he would pray. And he says, you know what? My food. You remember when he was with the Samaritan woman? The disciples went to look for food. When they came back, they say, is he not eating? He said, no, you guys have no clue. My food is eating the will of God. Is doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say prayer. I haven't touched today's message, and I'll leave it at that. Let's find time for God. Prayer is not easy. Like you heard Mercy saying, prayer is like a chore at times. Prayer is hard. It's hard work. And the devil knows it. You know, the devil knows that good things are hidden in tough stuff. So he makes sure that, you know, you don't go there. You look at your watch, you look at your duvet, and now we are getting into the colder months. You put your nose outside there and you can't feel it and say, oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. But we must find time for God, guys. I know, I understand the hustle and bustle of this city. I understand the business of how busy we can be. But we must stop. You must stop. Tell yourself to stop. And say, you know what, I have set aside this time for God. I've set aside this Saturday to serve God. I want to appreciate the guys who come here every Saturday for rehearsals. Let's appreciate them. Come on. These people you see here, at times we sit there and say, today she did not sing well. Or today, I did not, this is the best guitar. I don't understand what he was doing. You have no clue. When these guys are here on Saturdays, it is a sacrifice. What sacrifice is on the altar? What sacrifice? What sacrifice? Every eye closed. Just ponder those words for a few minutes. If anything touched you, take it before the Lord this week. If you feel that you need to pull up your socks in an area, do it. You are yourself. Nobody's going to force you. We are here to encourage you. That's why we are here. We are here to encourage you. Say you can do it. Say you can do it. Say you can. Whenever there's a clarion call for prayer, pray. Get into the mix. Fasting, fast. Let us do it together. Let's do it together as a team. Let us do it together as a family, guys. So that we may see the move of God. So we may see the power of God. God wants to glorify himself before our very eyes. And let me tell you, God answers prayer. That's the message I was going to preach today. God answers prayer, and he's ready to answer our prayers. He's waiting for us to come to him. He's at a certain place. There's a place called, that's why he told Moses. Moses said, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. And God said, but if you want to see my glory, there is a place where my glory lives. There's a place in the cleft of the rock. Once you get there, I will pass by and then you will see my glory. How many wants to see the glory of God in their lives? I bet every one of us does. But if we want to see the glory of the Lord, my friends, we've got to sacrifice. We've got to put our lives on the altar. The bodies. Jesus Christ, as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he comes back for three times, looking at the disciples, and he found them snoozing and snoring. And he says, guys, couldn't even wait and pray for me even just an hour. What does he say? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we must get this weak flesh and put it where it belongs, so that the spirit can soar.
Thank you for listening to this sermon, and I pray you've been blessed. For more sermons and information, please be sure to check out our website at www.shilohtabernacle.org.